Grace to you and peace this day from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it sometimes helps on the last Sunday of the church year to have weather like today, because we look outside and we see this white apocalyptic winter windscape where we see the wind blowing across. We know that if we were to go outside and spend much time there, we'd probably would get frostbite of some sort. And were this to have happened several hundred miles south of us, they probably would think it actually was the end of the world, because they're not used to seeing snow. And when it does snow, regardless of whether it's actually dangerous or not, they tend to be frightened by it. But as we come to our text and our sermon meditation for this day, we have the opportunity to contemplate the end of the world. Now, it sounds a little bit melodramatic as we start, and certainly in some ways it is. Some of you might have enjoyed music in the 80s, might have heard of a little song called The End of the World as We Know It. Do we have any of you folks out there? I see some snickering, a few people not willing to raise their hands. That's okay. That's all right. I am a child of the 80s, even if I'm not proud of it. And I recognize that it has been a preoccupation of our world, both inside the church and out of it, for much time, trying to figure out when that last day will be. I just recently had the chance to travel and see family in Indiana, even in the holy city of Fort Wayne, Indiana, where one of our seminaries is located. Traveling is something that requires a lot of preparation. You want to make sure you have everything you need, because you don't want to be stuck without something that you'll need, whether it be a medication or a certain toiletry item. I obviously do a lot with my hair and makeup, as you can tell. You don't want to be caught without having the right stuff that you need, especially on Thanksgiving Day, because you want to see family. Obviously, no makeup or hair product going on here. But I don't think it's just when we travel that we want to be prepared. As a nation, we want to be able to be prepared. I often see ads for folks who want to have emergency supplies of food in the event that there's a breakdown in our country's infrastructure and that there's a need for emergency food. That type of thing is available. We often like to keep medications that we need on hand in advance of when we need them. There are all sorts of different ways that we prepare, and that's even before we get into preparation for retirement, whether that be 401ks or however that happens to work for you. That's not the aim of today's sermon, though. I'm the last person to give you financial advice. As we come to it, though, as a society, and I think humanity in general throughout its history, has been one that's wanted to know what's coming up. You want to be able to be prepared for when you need to have something done. As a child, I know I always wanted to know when my parents would be off work so that I could time out the latest possible time that I could get my chores done and still have them done before they arrived home. I'm sure that was just me, and all of you were wonderful children who did them first thing and then went above and beyond and helped. But at least for me, I tried to get that planned out so I knew in advance. And if anything changed in that schedule, I would be in trouble, but that's the way it is. It seems as humanity, we often like to know what to plan for ahead of time, and especially when we get on to topics such as what happens after this life, not just we in the church, but I think everyone, whether they claim a faith or claim a belief in a life after this one, has a sort of dread about what comes next. I think that we all, in our own ways, whether we are inside the church or outside of it, look ahead to the future with wonder and say, we hear these passages from Isaiah and we hear about this wonder and dread. We read the gospel from Mark and we wonder, when is this all going to happen? People throughout the ages have tried to read the tea leaves and look into the scriptures. You can name some of them. They could be secular, they could be Christian. Nostradamus, you did read off a whole list. People have been trying to figure out when that last day would come. And even in our day, there have been prophets who have looked ahead and said, this is going to be the last day. I'm sure of it. We're going to be ready on this day. And you all know what happens on that day, because the Lord has said, anyone who guesses it's not going to be that day, well, that's when you plan a party, because that's not going to be the last day. It's been guessed. But yet we come back to our readings that we have for this last Sunday in the church year, where we're told to stay alert, to stay awake, to keep on guard, to be ready for that coming of our Lord and our Master. And it seems almost like there's two competing things here, because on the one hand, we want to know so we can perhaps rest beforehand and, like me, maybe not do our chores and keep up with our discipline in the faith as much as we need to until right at the point that we need it. Or alternately, we get so worried that we lose sight of everything that God has called us to do in this life, all of those vocations He's placed us in, trying to find this balance of readiness, of awakeness, as our Lord calls it in our gospel reading for today, is difficult, especially as we come upon nearly in excess of 2,000 years since our Lord was crucified and then resurrected. It can be a wonder, well, is he actually coming back? We know that he says he will, and certainly he will, but that whole soon part, that's kind of hard to interpret. Can lead we who are in the church to read these passages and to say, well, he says he's coming back soon and to stay awake, but if 2,000 plus years is soon, I don't know how long I can stay awake, because I need to take a nap after the sermon on Sunday because pastor preaches too long. By that I mean me. As we look, though, our Lord calls us to remain vigilant for a reason. You see, when we go out into the largely secular world outside of this building where we spend 166, 167 hours of our week, we go out into a world that tries to guide us to focus on all of that which is here and become invested in all of that which exists in this world. This world that we hear this morning that is going to pass away, that is going to wear out like a garment, that we in the church have learned from young on is one that is not to be trusted, one that is contrary in many ways to the Word of God. We know that there's risks to latching on to physical things that exist in this world and the fear of idolatry that we have. Yet at the same time, our God calls us to care for the gifts that He's given to us in this world, to care for that world out there, to care for the blessings He provides us in our lives, whether it be family, our spouse, friends, to care for the financial blessings that we're able to acquire in this life and to manage them wisely, to provide for our families and for our church and for the world at large. It's an interesting balance trying to be a Christian, and it's difficult when we have those competing messages from the world that tell us that we need to acquire and get because that's how you'd be happy, and then we hear any sort of commercial on any sort of media that tells us we need a new thing because the new thing just came out and we need to buy it, whether it be a cell phone. I know we've got plenty of folks out there who are excited about cell phones. Always have to have the new one. But yet at that, we're reminded of God's call to us to be awake. We go out and we hear all of the noise and it kind of lulls us into a state of sleep. Yet our Lord calls us to remain vigilant. He calls us to be ones who keep ready, because the true answer is that even Christ at the time he was speaking this didn't know when our Lord was coming back, but he knew that it was important for his church to remain vigilant, to remain in his word, to come to church when it's safe in the middle of a blizzard and you're able to make it, or if you're not, to be able to hear that word some other way, but to remain awake, to be ones who are prepared for our Lord's coming, to be people who don't put off that trust and that building of faith that we do on learning from our Lord's word, but rather to be focused on it and to remain ready for that coming. Seems like an interesting thing and an interesting sort of contrast with the way the world speaks to us, but there's no other way to put it. Our God calls us to be ones who remain ready, who remain focused, who, although we care about all of the people who are outside this building, our family and our friends, all those who we interact with at work or in the community, our God calls us to be ones who recognize that we have been called to a life beyond this one as well. We're called to be ones who are ready and prepared for that life, and that we don't get too latched onto the things of this world, the balance in the 401k or the stock account, the value of our home or whatever. It's important that we manage it well, but yet at the same time, our Lord reminds us of the treasures that he gives to us as he points towards this Advent, which comes as soon as Monday, as soon as next week, when we begin the season of Advent. This is a time when we have the opportunity to turn our hearts yet again towards our Lord, to look for his coming, not just as a little baby in a manger, but that last coming on that last day. We heard about this day. We heard about how our Lord will be coming back, our Master will come and will demand an accounting. And for many, that sounds like a frightening thing. It sounds scary. And yet at the same time, we who gather in this place, we who have been washed with the waters of baptism and been placed in the ark of the Holy Church, we who have been called as children of God, have nothing to fear, because we know on that last day, when the world as we know it passes away and the new heavens and the new earth come about as our Lord intended them to be from the beginning of time, we know on that day there's nothing to fear. So just as the apostles claim that to live is Christ and to die is gain, so also we as the church know, as we look ahead to that last day, we don't have to worry about any sort of work that we do to be ready or having everything in order. The reality is that our Lord has done it all for us. He has brought us into the faith. His Holy Spirit guides and protects us, even through the Nebraska winds and snow outside. He will keep us in his church, safe and secure where we are, feeding us in the body and blood of the Lamb, the marriage feast that is happening in the new kingdom, even as we speak and will continue into eternity. My friends, whether the world ends or not, it may be the end of the world as we know it, but let me tell you, it's okay to feel fine, because our Lord has done it all for us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.